It's lovely to see everybody today. I am doing the third week on the subject of hope. So briefly, what we said the first week was the world's hope is more like just a wish something would happen. It's got no foundation, but God's hope is based on his word. And we have to make a decision to hope. We need to decide to do it. The second week, last week, we talked about Lazarus, and he was in a fairly hopeless situation on account of the fact that he was dead. Not his best hair day. But God had other plans for him. And we said last week that we may have some things dead and buried in our life, but God could be saying they are still alive. God is able to resurrect our lives if we are able to hope in him. Now, you can't do a topic on hope without a quick look at Abraham. So today, we're going to look at Abraham, and I know lots of us will know the story of Abraham, but here's just a very brief summary. Abraham was married to Sarah, and they had no children. But they had hope. There was still one problem. Abraham was almost 100, and Sarah was almost 90, so naturally, their situation was not possible. Here's what it says in Genesis 12 and verse 2 and 4. In verse 2, God says this to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. And verse 4, just a couple of verses later, tells us that Abraham was 75 years old at that time. So God gives him a promise, I'll make you a great nation, and Abraham is 75. So God made a covenant. The Bible calls it a covenant. And it's a promise, it's a pledge, it's a vow, it's a commitment. When God makes a covenant, he does not break it. So call it whatever you want, but as far as God's concerned, it is set in stone. The covenants he makes with us are set in stone. If you look at his covenants in the New Testament, Romans 10:9 says, if you believe in your heart, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is a covenant. That's all you have to do to be saved, is that one verse. And God will never go back on his word. And when God makes a promise in his word, it is already true, but it is true in the spirit realm. And sometimes we've got to walk it through into the physical realm. And God's promise was that Abraham would be a great nation. And he saw Abraham as a great nation. He didn't see him as anything else. But in order for that to happen, Abraham and Sarah needed to have a child. And even at 75, when he was given the promise, things were looking a bit ropey, you know? It was hard for Abraham to hope for this particular promise because he was 75, so that made Sarah 65. And things were not working the way they used to. In fact, things weren't working at all. Probably, okay? They were past having children. So it was physically impossible for this promise to come true. But I want you to note this. It was not spiritually impossible. Because God is a God of the impossible. Here's what it says in Jeremiah 33 and verse 27. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? In other words, God's saying, nothing's too hard for me. Even if it looks impossible in the physical, I work in the spirit realm first, and I can change the physical. When God gives us a promise, he considers it a done deal. Let's flip to the New Testament, and again, they're talking about Abraham, and it's in Romans 4 and verse 18. For Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become a father of many nations as he had been promised. So this says here quite clearly, human reason to hope was gone. You know, sometimes you get that doctor's report and you've got no hope left. They've wiped the floor with your hope when you come out of the doctor's surgery or the lawyer's office. There's no human reason to hope at 65 and 75 that you would be able to start a family. So it looked impossible in the natural, but Abraham hoped anyway. He couldn't see a child, but Abraham still hoped. The circumstances were all against him, but Abraham still hoped. And if you read the story for yourself, you'll see that Sarah herself even laughed about it But Abraham still hoped. How? How could he keep on hoping when all the circumstances were against him? Well, I've got a revelation for you you can go home with. Certainly take this one home. Write this on a post-it and put it beside the kettle. How could he keep hoping when all the circumstances were against him? Well, here is the revelation, because Abraham's hope was not in the circumstances. His hope was in God, the living God, the God of miracles, the God of the supernatural, the God of the impossible. That's where his hope was. So the circumstances made no difference to him. I'm sure he had his bad days, but he got up and went, I'm still going to hope. His hope was not in what he could see, taste, hear, smell, or feel around him. Everything around him was saying, this is never going to happen. But his hope wasn't in the natural, it was in the supernatural. Folks, if the supernatural interests you, don't look any further than God. Because he's got more supernatural power in his little finger than any crystal ball or tarot cards or horoscope. He's got more power than any of it. In fact, it should probably be called a horror-scope. Because goodness knows what you're allowing someone that you don't even know to speak into your life. We don't need to look for those things. We need to look at the God of hope. God knows the plans he has for us. So look to him for your future. Not to someone else that you've got to pay them. And don't look to alcohol, because the bottle will run out, but God never does. He never runs dry, and he will never run out on us. Abraham's hope was in a promise from the Word of God. So here's my first question today. Where is our hope? Is it in the Word of God? Is it in his promises to us? Or are we focused on the circumstances and what our five senses are telling us, what we can see and hear and feel? Because they are so overpowering. You know, if you've got a rash on your arm or something and you pray and you command it to go in Jesus' name, but you can still see it, you can still feel it, it's still itchy. The first thought that comes into your head was, that prayer did not work. God's not heard me, and God's not moving, and he doesn't heal today. Because all of our senses will tell us that. We need to ignore our senses sometimes and focus on the Word of God and say, God has heard my prayer, and I believe that is being healed. It might be from the inside out, but that is going to go in Jesus' name. You know, how many times a day do we think about how we feel and not about what God says? When the alarm goes off on Monday morning, do we feel like getting out of bed? Do we feel like going to that meeting? Do we feel like going to that appointment? No, I don't feel like it. So many times a day we ask ourselves how we feel and not what God is saying. How many times a day do we look at our circumstances and not at the Word of God that can change the circumstances? Circumstances in our lives can change like the wind. One phone call, you know, one conversation, a text message, and the rug is pulled out from under our feet. By lunchtime, everything has changed. Everything can change just like that. Just when you think you've got it sorted. There's one time Neil and I were selling a flat, and we thought we had it sorted. We had the buyer, you know, and their house was getting sold, and everything was on track. We thought, this flat's going to sell in 6 weeks. It ended up taking 6 months, because the buyer, their deal fell through. They were wanting to sell a house, and that fell through. Long story short, that we did end up selling to the same lady, but 6 months later, and she'd finally got her act together and her house sold. But one thing we can depend on is this: it's God and his Word, because it never changes. Look at these two scriptures in the New Testament. Hebrews 13:11. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's an amazing scripture. Take that one home with you if you don't go home with anything else. Because no matter what we're going through, Jesus is the same. James 1:17, God doesn't change like shifting shadows. Another translation says, there's no variation in him. Folks, God's not the variable. Other things might change, but God won't. He loved us yesterday, he loves us today, and he'll love us forever. He forgave you when you asked him into your heart. He forgives you today, and he'll forgive you forever. And yet the enemy wants us to carry around condemnation for the wrong things that we've done. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So first of all, God said it to Abraham. Second, Abraham believed it. And then Abraham saw God do it. That's the definition of hope. We need to hear what God said on it, then we need to believe it, and then we will see God do it. Let's look at Hebrews 11 and verse 1, and it says this, talking about faith and hope. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see. Faith perceives as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. That's a fantastic summary. If we have faith, then we have hope. The two go hand in hand. You can't separate them. You can't have no hope and have faith. You have to have, they're just almost the same meaning. They go together, faith and hope. Faith and hope see things as a fact on the inside before we see it with our five senses, before it's obvious to us around about us. Faith means we have assurance and hope in God that he'll do what he promised. Faith and hope are the title deed to all that God has for us. And I just love that expression. That really does something for me when I think about having the title deed. And I always get a vision of me holding a title deed in my hand. So no expense spared today. I have my paper and my rubber band here. No expense spared. So I am holding the title deed in my hand to all that God has for me. It's rolled up here in my hand, and no one can take it from me because it's mine. I'm sure of it. I'm hoping in it, and I'm not letting go. You know, even if Adrian gives it his best shot to take this title deed off me, he's not getting it. Nope, see, too slow. He's not getting it because it's mine. So if someone gives you the title deed, you hang on to that. You don't put it down somewhere. You don't leave it lying. But if it's a title deed for your house or something like that, you hold on tight. You know, if we all had a great Auntie Jeannie, I think I had a couple of Auntie Jeans at one point. So you've got a great Auntie Jeannie and they live up the north of Scotland. I know I've used this example before, but it's just such a powerful example. And you get a letter from the lawyer saying, Auntie Jeannie has passed away. Now, you never met Auntie Jeannie. So it's not the saddest thing in the world. She was 110, so that was, she had a good life. And she's passed away, and you've inherited the house. And the title deed is in that envelope, and you've got it in your hand. And even if you've never been to that house, you could say, oh, do you all want to come up for the weekend? We're all going to see what I've inherited. Let's go to the house. And someone might say, well, how are you going to get in? It's okay, I've got the title deed. We would believe that we own that house, even though we'd never seen it. Even though we'd never been there, we'd never seen it, we would believe that we owned it because we have got the title deed. So here is my revelation from that little description. Hoping for something in God is as good as holding the title deed in our hand. If we really have faith and we're really hoping for healing or for our situation to change and for God to move and for a new job and for a house to sell or whatever that situation is, if we really got our hope in God that he has heard our prayers, it's as good as holding the title deed in our hand. It is ours. We just need to push through. Even if we don't have it yet, we're convinced it's ours. It's all the evidence we need is hope. We can't see it yet, but we're convinced it's real. So here's a question. Are we convinced that what we're hoping for is real? Can we see it in our hand? Can we see that new job or whatever the situation is? Can we see that thing selling? Can we see the door opening, whatever the situation? Romans 4:17 says this. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that do not exist as though they did. That is a powerful, powerful scripture. Being able to call things and see them as real before they are real requires hope. Faith in God and hope. So what are we hoping for? What do we want to see exist that does not exist yet in this space and time? Because here is another revelation. God can change what exists. He can change the doctor's report. He can change the bank balance. He can change a work situation. He can even change our mind. He can change our mind on something. Neil and I will often pray, Lord, establish our thoughts on this. You give us your thoughts into our mind. And especially if we're both thinking differently about something, we say, God, you need to change someone's mind on this. And he always does. Either changes Neil's mind or he changes mine. Oh, well, okay, I'm okay with that now. And we can go down the same road. You can ask God to change your mind. You have to be prepared for him to change your mind and not just the other person's mind. But he will change minds. God can change the facts. He can give life to dead things. Do we have something that's dead, but we'd like God to breathe life into it? Then start calling the things that don't exist yet as though they do. You might say, well, Sandra, how do I call things that don't exist as if they do? That sounds a bit hard. It's as simple as opening your mouth and calling for it and speaking it out our mouths. So if you've got a lack in your life, or maybe a lack in your finances, you can say, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in heaven. Even if you think, well, Lord, I really could do with a friend that lives nearby, a friend in church, a friend in the neighborhood, God will supply that need. I've got a lack in this area. Thank you. You will supply all my needs. Say your problem is fear. Well, you just have to start speaking out. God didn't give a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Thank you, Father God, for a sound mind. We need to call it. Say, thank you. I have a sound mind. I refuse to listen to these voices of fear. Speak life into our circumstances. Say what we want to have, not what we do have. And I want us to note this. Something will not come to life by itself. We need to speak the promises of God over the situation. Now, if you've got a little plant on your windowsill and it's looking dry and it's looking withered, it's not going to come to life unless you water it. Unless you give it what it needs. We need to water our lives, our emotions, our thoughts, all of our soul realm and our spirit realm as well. We need to water it with the word of God. We need to water it with praising God. We need to water things in our lives. It's not going to come to life by itself. Because what we're calling for may just be what we end up getting. So if we're calling for a bunch of negatives, this is useless and hopeless, then that might be what we end up getting. Here's another revelation that I want to bring. The facts in front of you do not have to be the future in front of you. We can change the facts. We can change what's happening to us. We can change your attitude in the situation. So the facts in front of you don't have to be the future in front of you. We can call things that we want to see. Changing the words that come out of our mouth can change our lives, quite simply. But I want to go back to Abraham for my last little point. And I'm going to give you just a brief rundown of the history of Abraham, and it should be on the next slide, Linda. So here is a brief history of Abraham, okay? So in Genesis, it all starts in Genesis 12. In Genesis 12, verse 2, God promises to make Abram a great nation for the first time. And I want you to note that his name is Abram at this point. Two verses later tells us Abram was 75 when he got this promise. Then we skip to Genesis 17 and verse 1. Abram is now 99 and still waiting on the promise. And then a few verses later, Genesis 17 verse 5, only then does God change his name to Abraham, the father of many nations. Genesis 17:17, Abraham is now 100 and Sarah is 90 and they've waited 25 years on the promise. I'm just giving you these as facts because these are the scriptures that tell you those facts. And then the final one is in Genesis 21, verse 5. It tells me that Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac, the promised child, was born. So most of us will know these facts about Abraham and his long wait to see God's promise. But I want to bring a revelation that you may not know. Now, I know I've shared it once before, but you may or may not have been here. So I'm hoping that this knocks your socks off. And it's the revelation is this. When God first promised Abram that he'd be a great nation, he was 75. I've proved that. But it was 24 years later when God changed his name to Abraham the father of many nations. He didn't change his name at 75. At 75, he was still Abram. At 99 is when he got the name change. Even at 98, he was still Abram. But at 99, he went from Abram to Abraham. So here is Genesis 17, verse 5. Nor shall your name any longer be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, father of a multitude, for I have made you the father of many nations. So every time he said his name, he was calling himself a father of many nations. He could see no child in the natural, but he was calling for it in the spirit. He was calling things which were not as though they were. He was calling into existence the things that didn't exist yet. He was calling himself a father when he had no child. God made Abraham live by this principle of calling things that don't exist as if they did. So this is the revelation. Here is the revelation from all of that. The child they'd waited for was conceived as soon as Abraham called for it. As soon as he called it, he was a father, he became one. The child was born within a year of Abraham calling for it and speaking it out. Yes, he waited 25 years, but for 24 of them, he was relatively silent. And then he began to call. Abraham called out for less than a year. I suggest it was 9 months. And the promise was born. If Abraham can call for things and see them come into being, so can we. It is a principle of God. It is a spiritual law. This is a spiritual law that we can call things that we don't see into existence. Romans 4:17. Abraham's hope was not a flash in the pan. He fixed his eyes on God's word. He called things that didn't exist as though they did. His hope was still in his God at 75, 85, 95, and 100. Folks, we give up after a fortnight. If it's not healed after a fortnight, we give up. If the situation is not changed after a fortnight, we're done for. But Abraham, day in and day out, month in and month out, year in and year out, for 25 years, put his hope in the living God, and he was not disappointed. Abraham got his breakthrough when he began to confess it and call for it. And we can do the same. Only by speaking words of hope will our hope begin to rise on the inside. Then we'll be holding our title deed in our hands. Then what we're hoping for will appear. We have a title deed in the spirit realm, and we need to be declaring it in Jesus' name. Thank you. Let me ask the worship team come back up and join us.